It's time for Conversations with the Mayors, brought to you by the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. You can get ready for the election on November 7th with the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro's candidate questionnaire, laying out the views for each candidate on issues such as whether Chapel Hill's growing too quickly, the housing supply, downtown density, and more. Read their answers and get informed at carolinachamber.org/election.hub. We are joined now on the phone by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. Pam, how's it going?
It's going well. It's a little bit chilly outside, but I know it's a big shift from where we were in the 80s, but it was very nice to be. I was out at the Jordan Lake Watershed Summit down there, and a little bit of a hike at lunch break, about 10 minutes worth, but it's beautiful out there.
I wanted to ask you about that Jordan Lake One Water Summit. Were there any outcomes reached, and what was kind of the general consensus while you were there?
Yeah, so it's been a great collaboration coming together. The Jordan Lake rules got started way back in the early 2000s, kind of stalled, and then I was part of the Falls Lake, which has taken off and a little further down the path. But Jordan Lake has come back together to figure a one water concept where the triple bottom line is environmental, social, and economic, and how do we make this all work, and how do we have a healthy watershed for all those areas. And so the group's been working, and they now have real data. They've been doing monitoring and figuring out the lake is eutrophic, which I'm not a scientist, so you'll have to pardon all the nitrogen and phosphorus, all that kind of stuff. Trying to look at the different areas and what needs cleaning up and what is in there now. They've got data to track over about a 20-year span or longer, and fascinating to talk about stormwater and how it contributes. So the rules will be going out, the proposals will be going out to the community, the stakeholders for input for the next year, and then they have to go to the Environmental Management Commission for adoption at some point. So it's a process, and it takes a lot. It's a huge watershed. It stretches all the way up to Reedsville and Greensboro and comes all the way down this way. And it's an unusual lake, too, in that the Hall River feeds into the bottom of the lake, but the outtake for the water supply is in the middle of the lake. So a very interesting dynamic, and I've enjoyed learning so much about it. So it's been great.
I don't even know if there's a question couched in here, so I don't know if you'll have comments afterwards. But as I've learned more and more about Jordan Lake and Chapel Hill, the relationship between the two kind of fascinates me, particularly with that the idea that there are actually water rights for Chapel Hill from Jordan Lake, but there's no way to do that right now, and how that conversation's happening, and just the fact that that lake is really relatively new in terms of reservoirs. It wasn't there just a few decades ago even. So again, I don't know what the question is necessarily, but I find that relationship between the two are interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people ask that. In fact, you know, there aren't that many natural made lakes in North Carolina. They're almost all dammed up rivers. This one is dammed up, Paw River and the Morgan Creek and the New Hope Creek arm coming in. And we do have right to pull some water from there. And as you see the region growing, as it's growing so immensely, especially around the lake area, you've got Cary, and it is the primary drinking source for Cary, which serves Apex and Morrisville and some other communities as well. And so how do we make sure it stays clean? How do we make sure there's enough water to pull out for everybody? Those are all some of the questions they're trying to answer. And when this lake is listed as being impaired, that's what eutrophic, is, leads to, then what are we doing to make sure that we're fixing that for that triple bottom line, not just for drinking, but for the environment? And people like to use it for recreation, too. So it is an interesting dynamic. We feed into the Morgan Creek arm. It's not a lot of supply, and we don't have industry in Chapel Hill, and Owassa actually is in charge of the water system here, but our stormwater flows into the Morgan Creek arm. So how do we help in our part? And we laughed about the solar bees that had been deployed there back in 2015. So it's a learning process, and credit the UNC Collaboratory that did most of the actual hands-on or in the water kind of research. And now we have that information, and we can take a better, more educated approach to helping improve the lake, and so that the water supply will be there for us now and for the future.
It's the voice of Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. And one other thing that I wanted to ask you about that I'm pretty interested in was the downtown tour that you and staff did on Tuesday on bikes.
Yeah, so council member.
Seems like a pretty good day to do that.
Yeah, it was kind of drizzly.
A little wet. It was the one wet day, right?
It was Halloween day. I had to ride my bike from home too. I'm like, oh. But we've put in some new bike lanes downtown, and it was to get a view of what it was like to cycle around downtown or to and from, mostly in the downtown area. The new bike lanes on Merritt Mill Road were wonderful. We do want to do a little more figuring out how to make them even more clear, but there was enough road capacity to handle a bike lane on either side. Then we came down Cameron. It's got some issues, as we know, but we got the federal grant, and there'll be some minor improvements to install the big buffered bike lanes on Cameron, which I think everyone will love. But there's gaps in our system. Then we rode through campus, a little precarious, coming out over there onto Battle Lane, which doesn't have any bike lane, and learned about how the stone walls up against the road really kind of are an impediment for cyclists because there's no give. You can't pedal right into the wall. So just taking a look at that and then riding around Rosemary and Franklin Street, and where we do have the bike lanes in West End but not East End, and then over onto Rosemary into the North Side neighborhood. So really taking a look at where we felt comfortable riding, where we saw the gaps, how we fix those. And then we came back to talk about all things bikeability in Chapel Hill, everything from how to educate more people about e-bikes, how to figure out whether it needs to be better lighting, better signage. Staff does this pretty regularly, but it takes someone like Councilmember Miller-Frischi and me along to say, okay, you aren't normal, you don't ride your bike to work all the time. Tell us what you saw. And so it was a really good dialogue and gives them sort of parameters for how to keep moving forward and making it a connected bike path and a safer bike path for all kinds of folks.
Was there anything that you think about differently after having done that, or did you kind of see something that you didn't expect at any point?
I will say that things like recycle bins and trash bins in the bike lanes were huge impediments, because then you got to pull out into the traffic and you have to be able to look to pull out into traffic. So that was kind of like, okay, that's not a right. And then making sure that the grates and the bike lanes are kept clear of debris is huge. I will say I hadn't been on the Merritt Mill bike lane, so I was pleased to see it. Once you saw it, I felt comfortable there. There was enough of a buffer between the bike lane and the cars. I still feel uncomfortable riding up MLK. It's a little daunting, but I will say motorists have been very good about, swinging out away from me, so that's kind of nice too. That will get improved when our BRT system goes in, so I know we're headed in the right direction. Riding the Greenway is wonderful. I'll just say you feel at ease. You can say hello to people. You can take your time because you don't have to engage with cars. So all that together is that we're looking at this everywhere to everywhere Greenway system. We're looking at connecting our bikeways and our mobility plan. So a lot going on with a focus on really using bicycling as a transportation, not just for exercise and fun. So it's a whole different look at that, for people wanting to commute that way, to shopping, to work, to visit other folks. It's a different way of thinking about it, and I'm really pleased our staff seems fully engaged. Almost everyone on the staff rides to work all the time, so you're like, okay, you get it. We'll see you there, so it was good.
It's the voice of Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and that was a bike ride that town staff did on Tuesday. And Tuesday, traditionally a big day for Chapel Hill, as it was Halloween, and then it was maybe not quite as big downtown on Halloween evening as was anticipated. What's going on with that?
So we do prepare every year, and a lot goes on to get prepared for Halloween. We are trying to hope that the crowds do kind of scale back a little bit. We think the weather, usually, and Tuesday nights don't tend to be as big either, just to be fair, and so the combination of being on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night with cold, wet weather seemed to dampen the crowd's mood. There were other people out that were out Friday and Saturday night having a good time when the weather was milder, but they stayed on the sidewalks, and that's what we don't want anyone to get hurt. We're there to help people, stay safe and celebrate and enjoy, but it ended quickly, and people were back on the sidewalk, so We prepare every year for this and work with UNC and to make sure that we have plenty of staff on hand. And then you have to clean up after Halloween. There's always things to take care of. But I applaud our staff for being out there in that cold, wet weather. It kind of deterred me. I wanted to come down and see it, too. I was like, it's kind of cold. So I think that's what you saw.
It wasn't too bad by the time that time period came around, but it had been so cold and wet all day that I think a lot of people had already kind of changed their plans. I'm kind of curious. We were talking about this in the newsroom, how I guess ambivalent would be the word, where we're not really sure what to take of this, because in some ways, kind of gotten the vibe from the town that they're very reluctant partners in this Halloween celebration. And in other ways, it was like, well, we're ready for it, and it didn't happen. I mean, it happened, but not at the scale that we thought. So it was kind of mixed emotions, like, well, why didn't people come? But we kind of didn't want that many people to come. So I'm wondering what the mood on the town side is on that.
Well, the town, like I said, it was, when it was overwhelming, when we had over 80,000 people show up, it was just too overwhelming for a town our size, right? And busloads of students coming in from other universities, things like that. And so we wanted to make it homegrown. That was the goal, was to make it a homegrown Halloween celebration so that we had opportunity for people who were already here to celebrate in a positive way. And so we're good with that. We like that people want to come celebrate and wear their costumes on Franklin Street. It's just hard to plan it all out and close down roads. You have to get permission, those kinds of things. And if the weather's kind of iffy, it makes it a little harder to do all that, but also you get less people. So every year there's a debrief on, you know, what can we do to make sure people stay safe? What do we need to be? We get to keep the roads closed till later at night, but people seem to be okay with being back on the sidewalks after about 9:30, 10 o'clock. So it's worked out pretty well. So the town's just still continuing to evolve with homegrown Halloween. So that's where we're going. We did, you know, we do the trunk or treat over at the community center for families, and there'll be some other events downtown in the future for Halloween that are kind of more aimed towards young adults and older adults. I mean, just we're trying to think of different ways to celebrate and come together than having a massive amount of people show up in our downtown for one night.
We're speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. We're almost out of time, but I did want to mention early voting still happening, and we've got elections on Tuesday. I wonder if you have any suggestions or messages for Chapel Hillians before Tuesday's election.
Get informed. There's all these candidates all did lots of different questionnaires and have lots of different ways for people to find information. You can get online and find out all kinds of things from different organizations, whichever organization you want to go to, or all of them. And I would say get informed. There's a lot going on, and the candidates are working the polls hard. They're out there to greet folks, and you have this afternoon, tomorrow, and then Saturday. That's the end of early voting on Saturday. And it's very, we want people to come vote. We have usually about a 18-19% voter turnout, and we're hoping more people will come out and vote because we want the whole town to be there. We want to hear from everyone. And this is your chance to say what, you know, which candidates you want to support for which vision you have. And so I just really want to encourage every phone to come out. I do want to share some other exciting news before you we break. I don't know if you saw about the hockey arena that's coming to Chapel Hill, but the UNC men's hockey ice rink is going to be up there in the Enterprise Zone, which is exciting, which is off the Eubanks Millhouse Road. It's going to have seating for over 2,000 people. It's on the bus line. It's going to be a real boon to the area and opportunities to have different skating events right here in Chapel Hill. So we are so excited, and this came about because of creating that Enterprise Zone up there. We've had lots of great companies wanting to come here and venues like this. So you'll have the Family Fun Zone up there. You'll have the ice skating rink. You have Carolina Flex Park, and you have NC Donor Organization. It's really cool.
Is that Family Fun Zone where the miniature golf was going
yes,
to be?
Yes. They should be breaking ground shortly from what we understand.
All right, my attention is fully focused now. We did hear the news about the ice rink, but I confess, until you started talking about it just now, it didn't kind of click into place where that is and what that means. It also didn't click into place, even though I know very well how scarce ice facilities are everywhere in the country. And when there's an indoor ice facility, that's a huge deal for a whole lot of people and a whole lot of activities to suddenly have that facility there possibly available. So
it's incredible, and we're very excited and to be able to have this facility and other in the fun zone and other things for people to do in our community. It's really wonderful. Also, really quickly, I love doing the Chapel Hill Community Treasures. This year we honored six different individuals. There was one couple, Paul and Melinda Caldwell, Louise Felix, Marjorie Land, Robert Humphreys, and Albert Williams. It's so wonderful when people come together to honor these longtime Chapel Hillians who've really contributed and given back to the community. You have to be 75 years or older and been here at least 20 years. So these are people who've been very invested, and there were a lot of folks last night who were the first. They were the first black firefighter in Chapel Hill, the first black UNC police officer, the first black employee for a telephone company here in town, first in bringing it, they're incredible folks. So they're inspirational, and what we're going to be sharing out over social media. But I love this event, a chance to really honor people who've given back to community, and some great food from Mama Dips, but just the hugs were wonderful. The celebration was lovely, and I love that event, honoring people who've really dedicated their life to helping community be better for everyone.
Pam, great stuff as always. I always appreciate you taking the time, and I look forward to talking again next week.
Okay, thank you. Take care and stay warm. Bye.